Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR. I'm Jack Lepiarz, in for Lisa Mullins. The coronavirus pandemic has had a profound impact on nonprofit organizations that serve people in need. Many have had to change the way they operate or the services they offer. Some are struggling to manage increased need with a drop in fundraising. As 2020 draws to a close, we spoke to a number of charities to see how they're faring and what they expect in the new year. We started with the Boys and Girls Club of Worcester. It's gone from being an after-school program where kids can take part in recreational and educational activities to a daytime educational center.
So let's put the t and the oo together. And what word does that make?
Two.
Good job.
The Worcester Boys and Girls Club's executive director, Liz Hamilton, says it's called a learning hub,
where our kids have a safe place to go and be able to connect remotely to their teachers and at the same time also get support from our youth development staff. So if they have questions or if they're struggling in school, we can either provide them with support or contact their teacher and find out how we can better provide them with the support that they need.
How many kids are you serving total in the learning hubs, and how does that compare to last year?
We hoped by January to be helping about 250 kids per day at our sites, and right now we're helping about 200.
So I would imagine then there are kids you're just not able to reach then, or able to serve.
That's right. There's hundreds of kids throughout Worcester who are on a wait list to get in. And that's why it's really important to us to have our case managers and social workers connect with our kids virtually so that we are able to still let them know that we're here for them, that we can help them. And that's how we find out when kids might need clothing or food. We decided to really enhance and expand our food program. We used to serve about 250 families a year, and we are now serving about 250 families per week.
What has the pandemic meant for your fundraising efforts? You know, is giving up? Is it down? Is it flat? And what factors do you think are playing a part in that?
I was really concerned that we would see a real drop in donations, and that has not been the case. What I have seen is that people are giving differently. I'm seeing more in-kind donations of someone who donates non-perishable items for our food pantry. I'm seeing some new donors. They hear about what the Boys and Girls Club is doing, and then they, you know, support that initiative. I do worry. I worry for a few things. Fatigue, you know, donor fatigue. I also worry about us not being able to secure more resources so we could grow our learning hubs, because I worry about the kids who I know are left home alone. And I worry about the kids who not only are left home alone, but they're in charge of their younger siblings and how isolating that must feel and how alone they must feel.
That's Liz Hamilton, the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of Worcester. Liz, thanks so much for speaking with WBUR.
Thanks so much, Jack. It was a pleasure.
Heading north and east from Worcester, the United Way of Massachusetts Bay and Merrimack Valley supports more than 170 charitable organizations. President and CEO Bob Giannino says fundraising is up about 30% in the current fiscal year over the last.
What we've seen is that folks that have resources, and whether those are companies or whether those are individuals, are feeling as though that it is part of their duty as citizens to support those around them that are not resourced or that are not in a position to be able to support their families as well as they were before the pandemic.
Do you have any worries that the giving you've seen this year may not keep up if the coronavirus lasts another 6, 7, 8, 9 months?
We absolutely do. I mean, we have heard from agencies that many of their donors are experiencing some level of COVID fatigue, that they've given already above and beyond what they normally might be giving, and they just don't have any more to give. And at the same time, I get hope from those folks that continue to step up and step up and step up who have those resources. But if this continues on, we're going to need more than philanthropy to not only help get us to the point where we're on the other side, but then to rebuild. I mean, my concern comes in addition to meeting these immediate needs is what are we going to need to get people back to some degree of normal?
Are there certain kinds of organizations that are faring better than others?
We certainly see that the education-oriented organizations are struggling particularly. Same would be true for homelessness and housing organizations. Given the recent lifting of the eviction moratorium, we're seeing a steady increase in the number of families who aren't able to meet their rent or their mortgage and as a result are looking at not having a roof over their heads.
That was Bob Giannino, President and CEO of the United Way of Massachusetts Bay and Merrimack Valley. Finally, Habitat for Humanity of Greater Boston, which builds homes for people in need. It's still been doing that in the pandemic, but at a slower pace, like at this site in Malden, where crew has been busy even in the December cold. But the organization's president, Jim Kostaris, says donations to the Greater Boston Habitat for Humanity are down an estimated 25% this year. People already living in Habitat homes need more help, and demand for the houses is surging.
It's been difficult for our families that we serve. Many of them have lost their jobs. They are often people that work on the front lines in hospitals. And we've really worked hard to support them so they don't have to choose between paying their mortgage or feeding their kids. We're opening applications for some new homes we hope to build if we're able to get the funding. And I can tell you we have currently, I believe we have about 1,300 people on the list that would like to get an application. And this will be for, you know, in the range of 2 to 5 new homes. You know, we just think the demand is going to be that much greater due to the fallout, economic fallout from COVID.
So how do you balance, you know, a drop in giving with this increase in demand?
Well,
it's a tough
question to answer. We are going to highlight the difficulties that our families are having currently and the fact that with less volunteers, we simply can't have a lot of volunteers on the site. With less volunteers, we just need, you know, that much more help financially going forward.
Yeah, I wanted to ask along those lines, do you have to scale back on building projects because of the potential health risks on site?
Well, we have our own construction team. We do have subcontractors, many of whom are providing in-kind services. But, you know, we have to limit the number of people on a given construction site. So, you know, you do the math, it just takes longer to finish the houses. At the same time that we have families that are waiting to move in and they're often living in substandard conditions, they might be paying more than 50% of their income in rent. We, you know, desperately want to get them into their new homes.
That's Jim Kostaris, the president and CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Greater Boston. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jack.